Blessed by taking a look at Psalm number 40. We're going to read through and make some comments before our time of prayer. Just starting in verse 1, we'll read through first. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them. Yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy. But the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. So we see the Psalm of David, Psalm 40, starting off with sort of a testimony in verses 1 to 3, where David explains what happened. He waited patiently for the Lord, and he talks about the result. That God inclined and heard his cry. And talks about what he drew him out of. So first of all, you see desperation. He doesn't say, you've heard the words of my mouth. He doesn't say, you've heard me praying. He says, you've heard my cry and you've inclined to it. And we always see that in the Psalms where David or the psalmist will have God's ear and attention. And that's present here. And it's been a desperate cry, and it's been a patient cry. It just hasn't been overnight. And so there's a reminder there for us in praying to not grow weary. But there's, you know, even David, a man after God's own heart, had to labor and wait, be patient, and get to a point of desperation and crying out before God drew him up out of a pit of destruction. So this sounds extremely severe, a pit of destruction, miry bog. And what did God do? He drew him out of that, set his feet upon a rock. He didn't just draw him out of the miry bog and leave him on the side of it. And, David wakes up, regains consciousness, takes a few showers and moves on. No, he set him on a rock and made his steps secure, completely transported him out of that situation and onto a rock, onto stability making this path secure and straight and good. And so he's testifying this. This is, here's what happened. I waited on the Lord. He heard me. He finally inclined his ear and he heard me. And he drew me out of this destruction. And he put me in a safe space. And then he put a result of that is that in verse 3, he put a song in my mouth. And it's a song of praise to our God. And as a result of that, many will see this and fear. And they're going to put their trust in the Lord because God has done this. So I'm walking around with a new song because God has completely saved me from destruction. And he's getting praise out of that from me. I mean, it's bubbling up so much that others are going to see, fear, and do the same thing. Trust in the Lord like I did. And then he takes a moment in verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud and to those who go astray after a lie. So, and then he picks up in verse 5. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. There's praise. Seeing God high and lifted up in this, in his salvation here. I will proclaim and tell of them. Yet they are more than can be told. God's thoughts for his children cannot be told back in a lifetime. If you set out to spend the rest of your life telling of God's thoughts, if you knew them all in detail towards you individually, you'd run out of time. They are more than can be told. God has more thoughts about us than we can number and tell. But that doesn't stop David from telling. I'm proclaiming. I want to proclaim all of them. I want to tell them. Verse 6, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. There it is again. God's open ear to his children, that great advantage that we have over the heathen. The God of the universe with an open, stooped ear inclined to our cry. Then he picks up in verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written in me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Then he kind of launches into that result that we saw in verse 3 of praise to God for what he's done. That's expanded in verses 9 through 11. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. So he's doing just what he said in verse 3. Song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear. So he's doing that. Not restraining my lips. Telling the glad news of this deliverance. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. Verse 10. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and faithfulness from the great congregation. And then I was telling Elizabeth last night, I think this is one of the most beautiful verses I've read in a long time. Verse 11, the beginning. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. So David is not restraining something. He's not restraining his lips in praise, telling of God's greatness and God's mightiness to save and praising him. And he's confident that God will not restrain his mercy. And God, infinite God of the universe, again, is doing a few things here that should astound us. He's got more thoughts for us than we can count or tell about in a lifetime. He's ever stooping to us to hear us. He has our undivided attention. And we have his attention, rather. and he will not restrain his mercy from us. And this confidence that you see, your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever, always preserve me. That's confidence in the future. So that testimony of the past and that overflow and confidence in the future. I know this will happen. I know your steadfast love and faithfulness will ever preserve me from evils, or sorry, four evils have encompassed me. Then it kind of launches into a prayer request. Here's what God did, and he's getting praise out of it from me. And by the way, he's going to get praise out of those who see and fear. And I'm to the point where I just can't conceal this. I can't hide it. I will talk about it in the congregation. And in the future, by the way, I know that God will not restrain his mercy from me. His steadfast love is ever going to be there for me and preserve me. And then here's where I am today. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. So evils, sin, they are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Again, another serious situation. In the beginning, we saw a serious situation where he's in a miry bog, and it's very severe. Pit of destruction, the verbiage is used. So here's another one. Got more iniquities and evils to deal with than I can count. The hairs of my head. I'm in this again. Here I am again. And so it'd be real nice in the Christian life as if you just kind of got past the miry bog and became a Christian and hit a few trials, conquered, and then, you know, just sail on into heaven one day. That's not how it works. We know that the Lord makes us more like his son throughout our lives through trials and tribulations. So here's David gearing up in prayer again. And remember the first time he had to wait. It didn't happen overnight. He had to get to a point of crying out, not just, you know, getting the coffee and getting in the prayer closet and having a little quiet time. He was crying out. Okay, here we are again. Round two. Evils have encompassed me. So prayer request in verse 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame and say, aha, aha. So let my enemies not prevail over me. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. You see the theme in the psalm of make us say something. You're making us talk about you. You're springing up and showing your salvation within us. You're showing your making praise come out of us. And so you see this here, this prayer request, not only for him, but for all who seek him, that they would say, great is the Lord. Praise to God. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. Again, the disparity there. I am humble, I'm poor, I'm needy. I've got iniquities up to my head, and I'm drowning. I mean, he uses that verbiage there. My heart fails me. They've overtaken me. My iniquities have overtaken me. I cannot see. You get this picture of you've gotten to the deep end at the beach or something. You're swimming and big wave comes and overtakes you. That's kind of the picture I see when I read this. He's drowning in troubles. I'm poor and needy, but the Lord still takes thought of me. You are my help. And then he defines God like this. So he's talked about how God has helped. He talked about how he will help. And he's ending the psalm still needing God. And then he defines in this way, you are my help. You are my deliverer. This is how he sees God now. Do not delay, oh my God. And it doesn't say, God answered him right away after, but you see this kind of ebb and flow story here. And just was really encouraged studying this psalm because there's a lot you can take away from this in prayer and not giving up in prayer and continuing to labor. We try to pray here this, you know, in the mornings, but also this idea of how David testifies in the psalm, I'm not hiding anything. I'm going to tell about this and the effect that this has on people who see and fear and also pray. So, I was really encouraged, and I wanted to just open this time up. We can pray, but if anyone has a testimony and they can talk like David, and there's anything welling up that you would want to share, I would say you can go ahead and do that. It doesn't have to be, I know it's kind of on the spot, or if you have something you've been wanting to share, that would be an encouragement, a testimony of what God's been doing, and you want to, you know, wait till another time to do that. We can talk after and you can have my slot and we can do that. Just a testimony like this, like the psalm of boasting in God and what he's done. So anyone on Zoom, if anyone has anything to share now, feel free. We have a few minutes, but if also that invitation stands if you want to reach out and plan my slot. The next time I have a slot here to share, if you want to share a testimony, let me know. Because I think that has the effect we see here of encouraging the saints, causing us to fear, causing us to praise. And so I wanted to draw that out. And I'll just open it up if we have any requests or anyone wants to do what David did in the psalm and just encourage us to praise God even more for who he is and what how he delivered us, how he's delivering you from trials and teaching you through trials, but also just that great deliverance through Christ. We can always boast about that. So I'll just open it up. Anything we can be praying about or any testimonies that we have?
I have a good friend of 30 some years. He worked for a company for 25 years. And because he was unwilling to do something that was illegal, he lost his job. Of course, this caused some intrepidation and concern, particularly in light of the fact that he's almost 60 and the pandemic, and there's not a lot of perhaps work in his line of work. But he asked us to pray, some friends, and we prayed. He had an offer of severance pay. However, it was conditioned with some very draconian type stuff, not only non-compete sorts of issues, but like you can't use anything you've learned or used here in this job to get another one. He'd have to be flipping burgers at McDonald's to comply. So he was not able to do that. And so, it appeared as though, that was it. It was the end of the relationship. Well, we continued to pray. God raised up a friend from within the organization that he had worked with for quite a while, who evidently was able to intervene on his part. And ultimately, a long story short, he was able to secure a good severance through this. But this fellow that fired him was a real, he had a vendetta against, my friend's name is Jeff, because basically Jeff, in standing up and refusing to do what was legal, in some fashion, that man somehow professing to be religious or a Christian or something, he took that as a reproof, as a rebuke. And whether, his heart was hardened and he turned. I mean, he wasn't reproved to the point of repentance, like I've sinned against God by asking this illegal thing to be done. He bowed up and just, came with the barbs. So God be praised that, that he could have eaten anyway, but he, you know, God be praised that things were done right. God came through his people.
Right.
The intervention of his friend who was willing by grace. I don't know if this was a situation where he was kind of putting out his neck. You know, I don't know all those situations, but it could be.
Right.
And so thank God for his people. Thank God for good Christian fellowship. And thank God that he is kind and merciful. This brother, you know, just trusting the Lord, not with some trepidation, of course, but that's a praise to God for how good and merciful he is.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for sharing. But God does not restrain his mercy. He will not restrain his mercy. Praise the Lord. There's a testimony. Appreciate that.
For over the past few years, I've been keeping a journal, and I was reading it last night, and it just brought me to tears how over the years I have changed so much, how God has changed my heart into thinking how he thinks and how he looks at me and how he loves me, and that nothing is wasted in his economy. And I'm just so grateful. I love the fact that he does not restrain his mercy in our lives. And he does have a plan. I mean, that sounds trite, but the things we go through are the means to his end and his glory and our good, so that we can be more like him. And I realized last night how vaporous the years have been. And like when your toes curl and you kind of get scared, you know, what about the future? But then you look back and you see thus far, he has done this, and he does everything well. And so it just really, really touched my heart, and it really helped me to trust him in a more deeper, intimate way that for the next 10 years, if God wills that I live that long. For the next 10 years, he's going to continue his work in Claire's heart and life, and, you know, and the impact that my brothers and sisters' lives have on me, that he has indeed placed me in the midst of a family, and he's not abandoned me. And I love the fact that when you were reading, I remembered, I forget where it is in scripture, that his thoughts about us outnumber the grains of sand on a beach. Outnumber the stars in the sky. That's how often he thinks on us. So I just want to encourage y'all to, you know, I know everybody goes through things, and some things are short-lived, some are long and drawn out. But I just want to encourage you to ask the Lord to help us to see through his eyes how he loves us, and so that we can learn to indeed trust him and love him. Even though he can never be loved like he deserves to be loved. So, anyway, that was more than I could write. But anyway, y'all get this. I love y'all, and I miss y'all. I miss being there.
Thanks for sharing. Praise the Lord for that. And I was thinking as you were talking, think about how far God's taken you. If you're a Christian here today and you have a testimony that says anything about 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 30 years ago, the Lord intervened in my life, and you're here today, and you're still hungry for God, you have a testimony. And I think about David. We see his Holy Spirit-inspired, beautiful writing, some of the most beautifully written literature. I mean, this is the Bible. It's got to be the most beautifully written literature. And you see that, and you see it as so high. But look what David, the man after God's own heart, says that he's up to his ears in iniquity. Like he's got enemies, he's got evil abounding in his life, and he needs help with that, and he's got iniquity. And he's a man after God's own heart. And you just think about when you're overwhelmed by iniquities of the past that rise up, you can see. Sometimes I think God does that to remind you, look what I saved you from. Look how I didn't restrain my mercy in saving you and changing your heart. Look what you could be. Don't forget that. That helps us to be softer and more merciful in praying for the lost and that we care about in our lives. So everybody's got that. Every Christian has a testimony. Every Christian, I'd say, has lots of testimony. But But again, I appreciate those who have shared. And again, come talk to me if you're interested in doing a more formal kind of testimony sharing. And we could do that sometime.